This is Undaunted Life, a man's podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Thompson. Let's get into it. Mark Wayne Mullen, you're back on the show, but I just wanted to throw something out there right from the beginning. I just asked you off air if you were ready to get in trouble, which is, you know, always what I ask people that keep coming back on the show, because it's like, are you a glutton for punishment? But the thing is I'm doing something new with my beard. I'm wanting to see how long I can get it before my wife completely goes crazy. But I think if you join me in this, she might just relent and be like, hey, if MWM does it, then you can do it. So what do you think?
Here's my issue is my beard doesn't grow down. It grows out. So when I used to, you know, do some stuff overseas and I'd come back, I looked unrecognizable. And I kid you not, one time I came back and I'd been over in the Middle East for a little bit. I came home unannounced and my son, Andrew, literally pulled a shotgun out on me. I'm not kidding. Now, when I was younger, my beard was red like yours. I mean, it was a dark, deep red, which was so different because the hair color was quite different. But it grows this way. So it doesn't grow this way.
Well, let me just help you with that, okay?
Yeah.
So this is what you do. There's a whole process. So you make sure you shampoo it, get all lathered up in the shower. Right when you get out of the shower. No, wait. Hang with me. Great. Okay, you get out of the shower. Then you get some beard oil, right? So you do some drops, rub it in, warm it up, get it all in there. That helps keep you from getting like the beard itch. But then as you're, you know, doing your hair, which clearly looks like it takes you forever, this is the key, okay? Beard butter, okay? So you get you some beard butter, you rub that in, and then you go down with it. You get you a little brush, comb it down, fluff out the bottom. It's a whole process, but it'll just...
Do you shave your legs?
I mean, the parts that, you know... Maybe.
Do you shave your legs? Do you shave your arms?
I don't shave my arms. I do trim them because I don't know if you've ever done this. But if you've ever tried to get some.
You lost me a long time ago when you said all the extra work. I thank God every day I'm not a female. Never would I transition because all the stuff about the beard you said is way too much work for me.
No. It's about the effect on the back end. That's like saying working out's too complicated. I shouldn't do it. No, it's about
the
effect
different than
on
the
back end.
Product. Okay, you got makeup on today too, don't you?
No makeup. Right?
You just described all this stuff you do with your beard. You're shaving your legs. You definitely have makeup on. Your next thing, you're going to come in and you're going to be dressed in a skirt. I already know it.
I've already come in a top hat and a tuxedo. So the skirt is the obvious next thing. But like, yes, I do trim my arm hair, but the reason is very, very practical. It's all about practicality because I have really hairy arms, but I'm also a ginger. So if I go outside for more than 7 minutes, I start to burn. And so if you've ever tried to put sunscreen on this, it's like trying to get peanut butter out of shag carpet. Like it's a problem. Okay.
You justify whatever you want. I will agree with you. You be you, man, but I'm just, you know, too much work.
Well, here's your beautiful transition. Speaking of justifying things that don't make sense. Transition. I'm transitioning into my question. So speaking of justifying things that don't make sense, the Biden administration seems to be justifying their waning support for Israel. Okay, so there's been a lot of things that have happened over the last several weeks. Obviously, a lot's been made of the number of civilians that have been killed during this conflict. Even though people don't really take into consideration the number of civilians that die in any war, as even the ones that America is responsible for being in, but also that they wouldn't even be in this war if Hamas hadn't done what they did back in October of last year. But I will say for people that support Israel, of which I am a huge supporter, of which you are a huge supporter, I am very, very concerned about the signals that the Biden administration is sending concerning their support for Israel, because the president does essentially have unilateral control to a degree on foreign policy, not on funding. That is a congressional thing, obviously. But I'm very concerned about the things the Biden administration is saying concerning Israel. I'd like to get your take on it.
It's political for them. You know, for them, let's back this up. I was raised Pentecostal holiness my whole life. I'm not saying I'm a good guy and I'm this, you know, great Christian. I try to be. I mess up every day. I mess up daily, hourly probably. Okay, so don't think I'm like this great Christian guy. I just try to be a good Christian. Hmm. But I also believe truths in the Bible, and I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, and there is no gray area. I don't take scriptures out. I believe it as it says it. And it says that a nation that stands with Israel is a blessed nation. I want to be a blessed nation. Okay. I'm not going to play games with this. It not only are they an ally and a good friend of ours, most of them are also dual citizenships. A lot of the population is Americans. At the same time, I want to be a blessed nation. So that's why we want to stand with them. For the president of the United States to waver a little bit scares the living daylights out of me. But he's also doing it for no other reason than for political purposes.
Right.
Go back to what we saw in Michigan over the weekend. Literally in Michigan, United States, it sounded like we were listening to a protest in Iran, chanting death to America.
In Arabic.
The only thing they didn't do is burn our flag.
Right.
However, that voting block is a voting block of the squad. And they are needing that voting block. And they also need Michigan. Michigan is at play for the Senate and is also a toss-up state. It's a purple state. It's not a hard blue state. And so what you have here is you have a president that's pandering to a hard Democrat, hard left Democrat vote block. And it's putting our reputation and our allies at risk. When they see us wavering with the United States internationally, they see it, the United States wavering with Israel. That is a huge red flag to countries like Jordan, countries like UAE, countries like Saudi Arabia, who's on the fence to begin with, countries like Egypt. And then on top of that, they see us wavering with our commitment to Ukraine, even though we signed a Budapest memorandum, gave them our word that we'd be there with them. They saw the way we walked away from Afghanistan and left American citizens, SIVs, special immigration visas, which these are individuals that worked with us. They worked in the intel community, their lives at threat. We left them behind. All those are signals of saying America isn't what it used to be. And we need to start realigning, which plays right into the hand of China and right into the hands of Russia, because they're the only two countries that can backfill for us. So what it means politically is this a very dangerous move. What it means economically is exactly what the word says, is that a nation that stands with Israel is a blessed nation. So it could have complete reverse effect, which the irony of that, right? 19% inflation, 30% inflation in energy alone. And the economists now are starting to say that we could easily expect possibly another 8% real inflation, not hard inflation, which was what the numbers they can play with, but actual seen inflation. So they, even though they say 19%, you actually could be feeling more like 24 to 27% inflation. And that worries me.
Well, it certainly worries me, and the signals that are being sent, obviously anybody that even, you don't even have to be an astute political observer to be like, they're signaling this to get a few thousand people that are Hamas sympathizers in Michigan to vote the way that they want. And it's like, you're literally risking our relationship with the only democracy in the Middle East because you want to win Michigan. Like, it's kind of diabolical.
Yeah. And keep in mind too, Hamas, and they don't say Hamas, right? They say Palestine.
Right.
Palestinians, you know, Palestinians are dying. They never say Hamas. Keep in mind, though, there's two areas where the Palestinians live. One is called Gaza. One is the West Bank. So if you take Israel and you, it's not really the shape of this, but I'm just going to use this as an example. You take Israel and you say it's the shape of Florida, but much more narrow. The distance between Gaza and the West Bank is literally measured in miles. And I'm talking about 100 miles. I'm talking about I'm throwing this number out. It's not accurate. So just people that are fact-finding, don't come hit me on this one. Let's say it's 30 miles. People in the West Bank elected to be ruled by the Palestinian government. The people in Gaza chose to live underneath Hamas rule and put a terrorist organization. They could have voted. They had the vote to either vote for the Palestinian rule or Hamas. They chose to live underneath Hamas rule. So those people that live in Gaza, it's not like a ghetto where they were pushed and forced to live there. It's not like they couldn't leave at any time they wanted to. They chose to live underneath Hamas. It's a terrorist organization. And for the President of the United States to start calling on Israel to lay down their arms for a ceasefire, why wouldn't we be calling on Hamas to lay down their arms, if they want the fighting to quit, if these individuals that are protesting against Israel and against the United States, if they really care for the lives of the individuals that live in Gaza, then they would be calling on Hamas to lay down their arms. Because if Hamas lay down their arms, the fighting would stop. If Israel lays down their arms, the fighting will not stop because it's a terrorist organization that uses human shields. These parents of these kids allowed Hamas to build bunkers underneath their school. They allowed Hamas to shoot rockets into Israel around their school where their kids went to school. These are the same parents that voted in Hamas. The people of Hamas that live in Gaza turned a blind eye or supported them as they were building tunnels underneath their hospitals. They knew exactly what they were doing. There's no way they could hide what they were doing. They knew exactly what they're doing. And so don't go to me and start chanting genocide and how the United States is supporting genocide from Israel protecting itself and totally forgetting about Hamas is the one that started it. Hamas is a terrorist organization, that Hamas should be the one that stopped the fight, not Israel.
Well, and here's a nice thing for people that think genocide is currently happening to Palestinians in Gaza. Which side has nukes? Hamas doesn't have nukes. Israel does. So if they wanted to obliterate the entire population of Palestine, and if they wanted to obliterate all the citizenry, the combatants and non-combatants, they could do it in an afternoon. And they're not doing that. They're actually risking lives and losing their own military members that are casualties or actually killed in this conflict because they're trying not to kill innocents. This is a complete, it's bizarre world. It's backwards world.
And Kyle, they don't have to use nukes to even do that because people say, well, nukes would lead over into Israel. True. Okay. Statement. But they could carpet bomb the entire Gaza area and level it. They have the strongest air force in the region. That's without question. Israel has the strongest air force in the region. Why? Because a lot of their pilots were trained inside the United States and they fly our planes. They could level the place in one afternoon if they wanted to. So I'm the same thing. Don't talk about genocide to me. They're trying to cut the head of the snake off that attacked them on October 7th, that did horrific acts, that cooked babies, literally cooked them alive in ovens. Right. They raped and mangled babies. They raped and mangled women and children of all ages. I say children because it happened to young boys too.
Right.
It is mind-blowing the mindset that they had, and people ignore this. They absolutely ignore it. And here the Biden administration won't even call these individuals that were chanting this weekend, death to America, won't even call them domestic terrorists. Yet the same administration will say the biggest threat to the United States is the MAGA movement.
Right.
And say that that's a huge threat to the democracy. And they literally label some groups as domestic terrorists that are proudly carrying the flag.
Well, Mark Wayne, if we were a serious country, if somebody were here chanting death to America in any language, much less Arabic, it'd be like, well, you are forfeiting your citizenship. So we will give you a one-way plane ticket anywhere on the planet. So pick your favorite Middle Eastern country to go to, and we'll send you there.
Yeah, which is interesting because most of these individuals that are over here chanting death to America, they left the country they were at.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I never understood.
And chose to come to the United States. We didn't force them to come to the United States. We didn't make them come here. They chose to come to the United States. And now they're saying death to America, the same country that gave you an opportunity. Now go back to the country you came from and chant death to your country or go after or speak out politically against the regime that's running it and see how long you live.
Yeah, let's send you back to Syria with your Queers for Palestine signs and stuff like that and your purple hair and your nose rings and all that. And let's just see how long it takes before they throw you off a building just for, quote unquote, being who God made you to be. Now, we're running a little bit short on time today, so I do want to get into something that's tangentially related to the Israel thing. But Mark Wayne, there seems to be a dichotomy with everybody, Republican, independent, and Democrat. There's this dichotomy between the support for Israel and support for Ukraine. Everyone seems to have their own nuanced view about whether or not we should do this or that. A lot of the people who would maybe call themselves a MAGA Republican are 100% in support of Israel, but 0% in support of Ukraine. And then there are other conservatives that are kind of split down the middle to where it's like, yes, we need to support Israel no matter what they want to do, but also we need to at least give Ukraine the defensive ability to keep Russia from overtaking their entire country. I got to say, Mark Wayne, like I've got my own opinions on it, but it's very confusing. But as a representative of not only me and my state of Oklahoma, but also the United States writ large, how should we view support for both Israel and Ukraine?
Well, it's political when you start looking at it. Politically speaking, that you can't have one. Some people say, well, you should have Israel vote by itself, Ukraine's vote by itself, Indo-Pacific, Taiwan by itself, and the border by itself. Okay. There's not enough votes to get any of that by itself because there's a group of people that will not support Democrats, border security. There's a group of people that will not support Ukraine, mainly Republicans. There's a group of people that will not support Israel, mainly Democrats. In fact, Democrats, Republicans, I don't know anybody that's voting against that. And then Indo-Pacific is like, but it's all important because it's all about our national security posture. And international security posture as well. You know, there's this movement among Republicans at this point that's actually pushing itself to become an isolationist country. Why are we involved in foreign affairs? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Because somebody has to. And if the United States isn't there, then the gap is only going to be filled either by a communist country in China or a dictator country, communist country in Russia. Led by President Xi or led by Putin. When you control the world and you're the world police, you also control the economy. If you control the economy, do you think the dollar will still be the number one currency in the world that'll set the standard? Or do you think maybe the yen or the ruble might take its place? Well, if you're the dominant country, you're probably your currency is going to probably be it. And then they slowly allow us to be an isolation country. They push us into a weaker and weaker state. They have no intentions of invading us until their point gets to so weak that we can't make it by ourselves, but they can push us and make us irrelevant. And every time we waver on support of a country that is an ally with us, because it is our role. We are there to assist. That's why people are allies with us. They're not all allies with us just because we're good people. Some people just don't like redheads, but they like you because they do business with you. And I'm serious. That's just the way that works. Some people don't like us because we're Americans and we think we're better than everybody else. But they want to do business with us because economically it's important for them to do business with us. So it all has a give and take. At the end of the day, we have to be there or someone else is going to fill that vacuum. And if we waver on our allies, like if we waver on Israel, it sends bad signals. If we waver on Ukraine, when we asked them to give up their nuclear weapons in 1994 and said, if you do so, we will be there in the event that you get invaded by Russia specifically. And we signed the Budapest Memorandum, tell them that. And we waver on that, then that means the word of the United States isn't any good. And what has always been the most powerful thing about the United States is everybody could trust what we said. If we said something, we were going to do it. Other countries wasn't able to fulfill that promise. We historically have always been able to fulfill that promise. And now we're wavering on our word. And that is a huge red flag around the world, which is why you're seeing President Xi be so aggressive with his One Belt and One Road initiative, because he sees where America's going and he's preparing himself to fill that void because China wants to be the world power.
Yeah, it's certainly a red flag. We got 30 seconds left, so I just want your prediction. Before the election in November, do you think that Joe Biden will address the nation and specifically ask for Israel to stand down?
Whoa. The direction that he's going now, I haven't really gave a lot of thought of that. So you're pulling me off, you pulled me out of left field here. But Kyle, the direction that he's going now, I would see it. If you would have asked me this 6 weeks ago, like, no way you could do that. But he's already signaling that right now. So, I think there's a real possibility that could happen. Politically, it's way he's mitigating it. He thinks that that's a stronger voting block for him. So maybe so.
All right. We'll just have to see. And we'll also have to see if next month your beard looks better than it does right now. It looks fine. It's acceptable, but it's just not where we need it to be. So you have 1 month to get it together.
I think I'm going to do just for men. I'm looking in and it's pretty dang gray. That's pretty bad.
That's okay. You earned all those gray hairs. All right, Mark Wayne, we'll see you next month.
All right, see ya.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a positive 5-star review. If you want me to come speak live at your event or on your podcast, just shoot me an email to info@undaunted.life. That's info@undaunted.life. Follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook, and check out our website for everything else, including how to donate to keep more content like this coming your way. Just go to www.undaunted.life. And also, we want to thank the band Holy Name for allowing us to use their music for our content. The music on this podcast is their song Perpetua, which is off their self-titled debut album on Face Down Records. The links are in the description. I'm your host, Kyle Thompson. Remember, keep pushing back darkness, keep forging spiritual, mental, and physical resilience, keep seeking the Lion of Judah.